The content is the protected, copyrighted property of the Murthy Law Firm. Please listen to copyright information and restrictions at the end of this recording.
Welcome, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us today. We're going to talk a little bit about the newly announced $100,000 fee that's now been imposed for certain H-1B workers. Obviously, this has created a lot of confusion because it was literally issued on Friday evening, September the 19th, causing confusion over the weekend for employers, for employees, for families, for governments, sort of rocked a lot of companies, businesses, et cetera. So we're going to walk through what we know so far within the last 2 or 3 days, what's not clear, and what it might mean in practice for you. So joining me today are two of my esteemed colleagues at the Murthy Law Firm, Chris Drynan, a senior attorney with decades and decades of experience, as we often call him, Chrisopedia, for his incredible knowledge, and Kanya Sanders, who's equally knowledgeable, brilliant, and has actually done different areas of law in under immigration in different aspects, employment and family and removal, all different sorts of areas, so that we can really provide comprehensive guidance, whether it's an employer, employee, or however you're dealing with it. So let's get started. Chris, can you briefly explain what this fee is, whom it should affect, and whom it would apply against?
Sure, Sheila. The proclamation went into effect on September 21st. It imposes a one-time $100,000 fee on certain new H-1B petitions for workers who are outside the United States. The intent, according to the administration, is to discourage employers from hiring foreign workers instead of U.S. workers by imposing this very, very large fee. According to some clarifications that came out the day after this proclamation was released, it does not apparently apply to extensions of status or changes of status for people already in the United States. And it's not meant to be an annual recurring fee, which is not consistent with what was said at the time of signing the proclamation, but seemingly it is a one-time fee. But still, a one-time $100,000 fee is a huge barrier for companies that want to bring new hires from abroad.
Okay. So if somebody is in the U.S., you said the proclamation doesn't say, but the clarification says that the next day. So if a person is already in the U.S. on H-1B status, we believe it does not apply to them. Maybe, Kanya, you can jump in.
Correct, Sheila. So that was the clarification that was issued, saying that the fee is focused on new petitions filed for people outside the country. However, there is still confusion about what happens if someone travels abroad and then needs to re-enter, or if a petition was filed before the proclamation but hasn't been adjudicated yet. The text of the proclamation leaves some of that unclear. The clarification that was provided seemed to contradict each other, so we are unable to rely on it. But what the message that is being sent is that this is for new applications, new petitions, and not for those who are already on H-1B status.
Thank you, Kanya. Okay, so like we've all said, obviously, it was introduced in the last few days, and for someone who may listen to this maybe months or years later, we're talking about September 21st, the effective date of 2025. Obviously, the weekend, 19-20-21st, lot of shock, scrambling, $100,000, obviously, per petition is a staggering cost. Even companies that have billions of dollars would pretty much not only just lose potentially money, but need to shut down, not sustainable. And so the immediate reaction was companies and their legal departments sending out memos asking their employees to return immediately back to the U.S. We've heard of people spending thousands and thousands of dollars to buy one-way tickets to get back before the fee sort of kicked in. Scary enough, because it was Sunday night, it would kick in when the proclamation was passed Friday night. And basically, all companies and employers have probably hit the pause button on any type of hiring. Again, we've talked a little bit about this, and maybe, Chris, you can try to explain what if the company has a person who's abroad or the person is abroad and they need to bring people, let's say, for next year's cap lottery season. Are they just going to have to eat the cost? Or is it for people who are abroad entering after September 1? We think the clarification the next day provided some clarification, but then again, it contradicts the original proclamation, which is the main reason people say, how can I rely on it? What's your thought on that, Chris?
That's exactly what people are worrying about right now, Sheila. If you have a current H-1B employee who leaves the country for vacation or for a business trip, do they suddenly become subject to this $100,000 fee to reenter the United States? And we don't know that. We just don't know that for sure yet. The proclamation itself is ambiguous in that regard. And it's frankly internally inconsistent. It does seem to say that in some sections, but other parts don't. And the clarifications that have come out from the administration so far have themselves been somewhat inconsistent. We've heard different things from different people within the administration. So everyone is really trying to figure this out right now. Hopefully we'll get some definitive information sooner rather than later. But right now, the administration has just left a lot of us in the dark in terms of what the details are here.
Okay, Chris, that makes sense. Kenya, what about most people assume that a presidential proclamation would be very clear and everybody would, you know, totally understand how things work. You know, why isn't it that way here?
Unfortunately, Sheila, in theory, yes. You know, when you have a presidential proclamation, it should spell out clearly, you know, how this is going to work. But what often happens is that a proclamation just announces a policy direction without really fully detailing how it will be implemented. So agencies like USCIS or the Department of State usually have to issue guidance afterwards. Here, the White House made some clarifications, for example, that it's not an annual fee and it doesn't apply to existing H-1B holders. But they haven't given actual precise instructions about renewals, travel, or changes of employer. Now, you know, they may say that it applies only to new H-1 petitions, or, you know, and they also seem to be like mixing up petitions and visas. There's no clarification as to what they are talking about. Are they talking about petitions? Are they talking about applying for visas? So that is very confusing as well. So, you know, when somebody who is already here on H-1B status, but don't have a visa and they travel and they have to apply for a visa, is it going to apply to them? You know, so what is it? So they haven't given precise instructions on those. So that leaves employers and workers in limbo until formal guidance is issued. And the problem is they did not provide a time for this to go into effect before formal guidance is issued. They just said, okay, it's going to happen on midnight on Sunday.
Yeah, it's definitely unnerving. And it actually ties into the issue that I've sort of been talking about. It impacts the global market. It impacts the labor market within the U.S. It affects the employers that literally contribute billions, if not trillions of dollars to the U.S. economy. So it's clearly been disruptive. Companies in tech and engineering and healthcare that rely heavily on H-1Bs for specialized knowledge, skilled professionals, of which there is often a big shortage, a big gap in the U.S. And if the cost to bring someone from abroad now jumps up by on top of all the other very, very expensive, in my opinion, already outrageously high fees, disproportionate to the amount of time, effort, and energy invested by the USCIS is now going to be having this additional $100,000, then it just doesn't hurt that particular employer or series of companies, but also the U.S. economy as a whole, the U.S. labor market, the trillions in tax dollars in states. I think Maryland had said that there was going to be a $4 billion shortage on the Maryland economy just by so many international students choosing not to come into the United States because of their perceived concerns about just what was happening prior to all of this. So everything is interconnected. And many companies may decide, you know what, we'll just move all our projects overseas instead of bringing the talent here. It's ultimately going to affect the U.S. economy. And I really hope that we don't become an economy that was at one time a world leader in technology and technological innovation. So I know the next question, which everybody's thinking, is what about legal challenges? Do we expect lawsuits, and what does this mean? Chris?
I absolutely expect lawsuits. I'd be very surprised if there weren't multiple lawsuits filed in regard to this. There are questions as to whether the president has the authority to impose a fee like this without the approval of Congress. As a general rule, fees for immigration applications are supposed to be recapturing the cost of processing them. That's how fees are supposed to be set. This is a fee that is clearly intended to prevent people from using a particular classification. That's the whole goal. That's the only reason you impose a $100,000 fee on an application, is to keep people from using it. So it's unclear whether that's within the authority of the president to impose. Also, the fee arguably conflicts with existing immigration statutes, some of which already spells out the fees and the surcharges that are required for an application. So, yes, I'd absolutely expect lawsuits challenging the legality of this proclamation, but that's not a perfect solution. Litigation takes a long time, and until those lawsuits are settled, that leaves employers and workers with a lot of uncertainty. And also, litigation is not always going to result in consistent results. You might have courts in different parts of the country ruling differently on this. Now, eventually, that would make it to the appellate courts and potentially to the Supreme Court, but that is a long road, and that's going to leave lots of uncertainty in the meantime.
Absolutely. And in all prior H-1B fee increases, generally, Congress has had to approve it, like the additional $4,000 fees for what they call H-1B, L-1, you know, heavily dependent employers. Most of these fees have to be approved by Congress, which is why I guess litigation to tell them that they have gone above and beyond what is allowed is where we are seeing, you know, high risk, high chances that there could be litigation, and most likely courts should agree. But again, to Chris's point, the courts have been a little all over the place. So what happens if the employee is now abroad, has a petition approval, waiting for either a visa appointment or whatever? What should that person do right now, Tanya?
Well, I would actually tell them to consult an attorney right away, okay, way whether it's possible to enter before any fees enforced at the consulate or port of entry, or consider alternatives if the employer can't pay the fee. But the reality is that some people are going to be stuck waiting until there's more clarity or until courts step in. I mean, we have heard anecdotally that, you know, people who are outside the country, who already on H-1B status, who already had a visa, they were able to enter after the proclamation with no issues. The main concern is if they are outside and they have to apply for a visa. I mean, I think that is the biggest gray area, or the biggest issue right now is, you know, even if though they're already on H-1B prior to the proclamation, but if they go to apply for a visa, are they going to have to pay the $100,000, you know, which is, you know, totally unclear.
Agreed 100% with you. And so, I mean, in terms of trying to explain to employers, employees, you know, obviously as the employee or for your employers, you need to tell them, and you employers should tell the employees, or if you're an employee listening to this podcast, you know, obviously you want to avoid any type of unnecessary international travel until we get clarity. You know, as the employer, you want to review your workforce. If you are planning to hire employees from abroad, look at whether you are able to adjust, you know, pivot, figure out alternate ways of trying to, you know, fit a round peg in a square hole, as they say, and keep close watch for any type of guidance from whether it's the USCIS or any other agency that believes that it is in the chain of command of trying to implement and issue guidance on this proclamation, because certainly rules and policies could shift quickly. And we understand there was some kind of latest federal notice register appeared just, I guess, today, which is September 23rd, 2025. What is going on with that? Any thoughts that you have on this, Chris?
Yeah, we just saw that actually today for the first time, the proposed new regulations regarding how the H-1B cap selection is going to take place. And as the, on a very preliminary review of it, this is what the administration has been proposing to do for something time. Basically, weight the cap selection based on wages. I'm sure we're going to be discussing this more fully at a later time after we have a chance to digest all of this. But the basic takeaway of these new regulations is that higher wage levels are going to get more entries in the lottery. So if you have an H-1B with an LCA with a higher wage level, you're going to have a better chance of getting picked. And that's the proposed regulation, but that's clearly where the administration is headed. And I think everyone needs to take that into account going forward, because that's definitely going to become an issue.
Any thoughts from you, Kenya?
Yeah, for the employers, the big takeaway is to be cautious, stay flexible, and communicate with your legal counsel and your employees. Everyone is confused, and it's better to pause and plan than to rush.
Makes perfect sense. Well, the other thing that we just saw, I guess, was it in the last 24 hours, was because a lot of healthcare organizations, including hospitals, particularly in health professional shortage areas, medically underserved areas, are very concerned about the impact of such an outrageous fee that is completely unfeasible and untenable on healthcare organizations, particularly since there is a shortage of doctors across the U.S., not just in the rural areas or health professional shortage areas, that the administration has apparently indicated that they may make exceptions or exemptions for people. So we don't even have clarity on the rule, but we are already talking about exemptions and exceptions. And hopefully the exceptions and exemptions will pretty much make the rule either non-existent or untenable because everything is so tight and interconnected. I know we could continue, but at this stage, this is all we have to share. We are sharing this because so many people said absolutely need some clarity and guidance, even if it's just to say that there's not enough clarity and guidance. On behalf of Kanya Sanders, Chris Drynan, myself, Sheila Murthy, the entire Murthy Law Firm team, thank you for joining us today, and we will continue to keep you apprised as there are changing developments on this very hot topic. Have a good rest of your day. Bye-bye.
Unauthorized recording or dissemination of these materials without prior permission is prohibited by law. Learn about our firm, how to engage our services, and more at www.murthy.com.